Good morning. Well, Danny, the monitor's not coming on. His yellow button is, and the power button is yellow. Nothing coming on. I don't have a Father's Day message for today, necessarily. I am going to be talking a little bit about being led of the Spirit and grounded in the Word. And I think that we as fathers, I've said before, that we as fathers are our family's first line of defense against the kingdom of darkness, against Satan. I do have a little bit of, I was thinking, what would I say to the fathers? One thing I think I've said before is that I'm keenly aware that I am, my children are still pretty young. I've got a lot to learn, and I do not have teenagers yet. There's a lot of different things that I have not experienced yet that many of you have. I guess one thing that I would say to fathers, and probably all of you have heard it before, probably the biggest thing that I've seen that's been effective in my relationship with my children is saying sorry, admitting you're wrong. It does something for your child and for you, for your relationship. You don't always have to be the dad and be right. We as dads, we all know we mess up, and sometimes we think that's a sign of weakness, or that'll make my child think that if she argues long enough next time, I'll just admit I'm wrong. That's not at all what I found to be true. I found that, I don't know why I get so emotional, but with Adri. I'm going to pick on her a little bit this morning, I guess, but she's the one that's the most like me, probably, which means we're the ones that butt heads. I can't even see her right now. There she is. And I've told her that her being the oldest is difficult for her, because she doesn't have older siblings to learn from. And also, she's kind of the one that we're learning on. Just in the last several months, my wife and I have both said, and we've told Adri this, but I want to do it publicly, that I appreciate the changes I've seen in Adri. And she's really becoming a fine young lady that I'm very proud of. And Adri, I want you to know that I am proud of you and all my children, Jeffrey, Erica, Peanut, and Melanie. I love my children. On the other side of things, I would say to children, and I know there's times when I feel like, and again, like I said, Adri and I can butt heads on some things. And I'm sure there's times when she feels like, I never do anything right. And that's an area I've realized that I can do better in, is finding the good things to appreciate. But you as children that are still under the authority of your dad, I'll challenge you with this. If it feels like nothing I do pleases Dad, how often am I trying to please Dad? I know that if I look back to my teen years and I think about it, my dad and I butted heads on a lot of things. And I don't know what I would do if I would do it over. But knowing what I know now, I believe I'd be a lot more willing to try to please and understand rather than being my own boss, running things my way. Okay. I guess I'll just have to do it this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Matthew 6, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the second message in a series in which we are exploring what it means to be led of the Lord. I've actually preached twice since I preached on this. In my last message on this subject, what we're looking at is being led of the Spirit or led of the Word or both, and how that all works. I've preached twice since then, and once was on Mother's Day, and then last time I changed my message at the last moment. So, but the last message I would encourage you to do this if you think about it or care to. It helps me a lot when I'm going to preach the next message to go back and listen to the last one, just to kind of get myself refreshed on what was said. So that's something you can do too if you care to. We notice that while we have the Word of God, the Bible, to read, we have that to read. I'm sorry, I misspoke there. We know that we have the Bible to read, but we also know that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it is easy for us to get out of balance one way or the other. One side would say, I know what God wants of me because I read the Bible. I have a good Bible knowledge. I don't need to ask the Spirit to lead me. 2 Timothy 3:14. No, nothing's working. There we go. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, and this is where we might say, I don't need the Spirit, I have scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Truly furnished unto all good works. The other side of that, where we might get out of balance, is to say, why do I need to read some book when I have Christ, the one who wrote it, living right inside me and guiding me? John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we can take that side of the argument and say, if I have the Spirit, I don't need the Word. The Spirit will guide me into all truth. I believe the balance we need to achieve is to be grounded in the Word, led of the Spirit. We like to know what to do next. And I said last time I'm going to raise as many questions as I answer, and I might do that again, but at least I'm piquing your interest a little bit here. Why doesn't God just always make it plain? What should I do next? I had asked when I preached the first message that if anyone had anything to give me in helping me to study this subject, I would appreciate that. And I was given a link to an article by John Bloom, and I don't know him at all. Don't know anything about him really, but he had some things there to say that it helped me a lot, I guess, in understanding this, in understanding why God does not always make things plain to us, what he would have us to do. Some of what I'll be sharing comes from that article. First, I think we need to say again that it's all about God and His plan for us. It's not our happiness and understanding in everything we do. So that's first of all. In Romans 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's not about us. It's about God and His plan for us. Another thing we need to realize is that there are some things we simply will never understand. We need to be content to let God be God. And accept that we can never plumb the depths of His wisdom and purposes. When Peter was preaching, he said, "Let these sayings of mine sink down into your ears." Let this phrase, "let God be God," let that sink in a little bit. What situation am I facing, or what struggle do I have that I'm not truly letting God be God? I'm struggling. When Jacob wrestled with the angel, or with God, however, not real clear what happened there. But is that me? Am I struggling? Am I wrestling? Am I saying, I need it my way? Let God be God. Can I do that? Am I doing that? Romans 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And then Proverbs 25:2 said, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." Then I have a quote from this John Bloom. "One reason why God usually doesn't give us specific guidance in our sometimes perplexing decisions is that He places a higher priority." Now this gets kind of wordy here, but let's follow this through. "He places a higher priority on our being transformed than our being informed, in order that we will be conformed to the image of Jesus." Do I refuse to be transformed and conformed until I am informed? God, I'll do this, but you better tell me why. Then I'll do it. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. God doesn't always show us what He's doing and why. Another truth to realize is that we do not need to fear. We do not need to fear that God is calling me to something and I am not realizing it. I believe if I am living with a willing spirit, a spirit that is willing to be taught and led of God, I believe He will make His calling in our life clear. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In the last message, I said something about cut the wood that's in front of you. Take the first step. Take the step you know to take before you worry too much about steps 3, 4, and 5. Let's worry about taking the step that's being shown us. I think that's what Paul is doing here. He says, "I forget those things that are behind, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So I think that if we're seeking God and His will, if we're willing to be conformed to His will and desiring to be in His will, "Lord, what's Your will for my life?" I believe we can trust Him to show us that. If I am not feeling, I feel like I should be doing more. I feel like maybe God is wanting me to do something and I'm not realizing it. If I'm doing what I know to do, I believe God will show me if there's more to do. As I am seeking God and His will, He will make me aware of the calling He has for me. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Again, is there something God's wanting me to do that I'm not realizing? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, God came to Abraham and God said, Abraham, I want you to take and sacrifice your son Isaac. And it says Abraham, the next morning, he rose early in the morning and went on his way. We have two things we can look at here. The one side is that Abraham, God specifically told Abraham, go sacrifice your son. It did not make sense. We can look back now and see the typology of God sacrificing His son. We can see that God was testing Abraham. We can see all these things, but Abraham didn't have that perspective. Abraham only knew what God was asking him to do. He was not informed. But he went and he did it. God did not give any reasons to Abraham for why he was doing it, but neither was it unclear what he was to do. The other side of that, in this thing of being afraid that maybe God is asking me something and He's not showing me, wants me to be doing something that I'm not realizing. I don't believe that Abraham's neighbor had to wonder, boy, should I be sacrificing my son? If God's asking him to do that, is that what I should be doing? I believe God will make it clear to us what He wants from us. In 2 Peter 1, 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So what governs my decisions? What do I do when I don't know what to do? My love for Jesus or love for the world, and some of this I got from this Bloom. My love for Jesus or love for the world will come out in the decisions I make when I have no specific word from God on what to do. If I love the world, my decisions will tend towards accepting and being accepted by the world. I will conform to the world. If I love Jesus, my decisions will reflect that as well. I will continue to grow in the image of and be conformed to Jesus Christ. I told the kids in Sunday school this morning, we're called to be separate. Our Sunday school quarter downstairs is separation and nonconformity. And I said, if we take the world and we look at the world, say, I know I need to be separate from the world. I need to not be conformed to the world. So we use the world as, well, they're doing this, I don't do that. They're doing this, we have to be opposite from the world. If that's our standard, the world is dictating what we do. We are, rather than focusing on being separate from the world, let's focus on being separated unto Christ. Being conformed to Christ will make us different from the world. Titus 2 says, in all things, Titus 2 verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Conformity to the world or conformity to Jesus is most clearly seen in the pattern of decisions we make over time. When I don't have a word from the Lord, do I tend to do things that please the flesh or things that please God? And Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here. Surprising no one, probably. There's about a 6-week stretch every spring where I have a hard time getting much of anything done in my office. I'll be sitting at my desk. My mind is supposed to be on studying or on paperwork, paying the bills, doing invoices, whatever it might be, fence quotes. And I'll be sitting there and I may be looking at my computer, might be looking at some papers, but my mind and my senses are tuned to what's outside. I love the birds, and because of that, I hear the birds. There's lots of times when we're at work and I'll say, oh, there's an oriole. And Evan says, I never even heard that. Of course, you don't wear earplugs. You can't hear anything anymore. There is seldom a time that I walk into my office. This is year-round. For those of you that haven't been in my office, I've got 2 windows that face to the west and 2 that go to the south. And that's where my property lies, is to the west and the south. I seldom go into my office during daylight hours that I don't scan the hayfield and pond just to see what's out there. My mind is on another world. How often do I go through a day or a week and my mind is only on my work, my hobbies, my family, whatever it might be, and my senses aren't turned to the other world? When I meet a man for an appointment, I go do fence quotes. Maybe a truck driver delivers some product to my house. What are the chances he'll leave with a greater knowledge of the love of Jesus for him and the plan of salvation? Little things. Where are my senses turned to? Will he know that I care about him as a person? Do I care about him as a person? Another thing that I've realized, and this comes back to being grounded in the Word and led of the Spirit, in thinking through this illustration of me and the birds and the so on, another thing that occurred to me is I usually don't have to think about my reaction to what's going on outside the window. If I'm sitting at my desk and I hear an oriole, maybe it's the first oriole of spring or whatever, or if it's wintertime and I see a pair of cardinals at the feeder or whatever it might be, if I'm not too busy, I grab the binoculars or the spotting scope, maybe try to take a picture, whatever it might be. Maybe there's some bucks out in the hayfield. They're in velvet. So I'm studying them through the spotting scope. How big, how many points, how big is he going to get, so on. It's just my natural pre-programmed reaction. It doesn't even cross my mind to get the gun and shoot the cardinal or the oriole or even those bucks in velvet. That's not my mindset. But if I'm sitting at my desk and I hear a sparrow, what are you laughing about? I have opened the birdhouse, the bluebird house, and there's 5 bluebird babies in there and they're all pecked to death. Or the eggs are broke open. Sparrows will kill bluebirds. Sparrows will chase other desirable birds away. I'll often get the gun out before I see if I can see the sparrow well enough to shoot him. Because I'm my mindset. I don't sit there thinking, okay, now let's see, today, this is Tuesday, that's a sparrow. I just react. Those deer that I see in September, if that's the last half of November, I have a different mindset. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have a lot of things that are decided ahead of the circumstances we face. And that's why a pattern shows up. The pattern, if I look back at my life and see the pattern, if I examine myself and see the pattern of how I react to situations, it can tell us a lot, I believe, of our love for Jesus or love for the world. Many things in life are the same way. We don't necessarily make a conscious decision every time we do or don't do something. It's something we've decided ahead of time that we do or don't do. If I walk into Home Depot or Walmart, I don't decide on the way in, okay, am I going to steal something today? Or I see something on the shelf, should I steal it or not? I don't decide that then. That's something I've decided long ago. Hebrews 5:12 through 14, for when for the first time ye ought to be teachers, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I believe making habits of making right choices will lead to right choices being made. And I have another quote from John Bloom. The wonderful thing to remember in all of our decisions is that Jesus is our good shepherd. He laid down His life for us so that all of our sins are covered, including every sinful or defective decision. He will never leave us or forsake us. He has a staff long enough to pull us out of every hole and rod to guide us back when we stray. And someday, if we really seek to love Him and trust Him, we will see that He really was leading us through the confusing terrain of difficult decisions all along. And then I have three things from 1 Thessalonians 5 that are always the will of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Those three we never need to ask, is this God's will? Rejoice, pray, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May the Lord bless you. I'm not sure if we're going to go on this subject or not. I guess I'm thinking probably, but I don't know for sure. I appreciate your prayers. And let's just be sold out to the Lord. I don't need to be informed to be conformed to His will. Let's stand for prayer. I thank You again, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us Your will, what You desire of us, a guide for us to live by in Your word, and also, Lord, Your spirit to help us understand, to guide us through the day. I just pray, Lord, You'd help each one of us to be tuned into both. Help us, Lord, to realize the value of Your word and also of Your spirit, Lord. It's just one without the other, Lord, we're going to be out of balance. I pray Your blessing on each one here. I thank You for each one, Lord, and I pray that You would just give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we could walk after You, that we would show ourselves a pattern of good works. Thank You, Lord. We bless You. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.